We sometimes call these growth parables. It's about the gradual growth of the kingdom that is imperceptible except for the eyes of faith. So a woman putting yeast into flour makes the dough rise, but you can't stand there and watch it rise. You have to go away for a few hours and come back and find out that it's twice its size. Or a farmer sows seed, sows wheat in the fall, and it seems to grow dormant and die in the winter, and then it comes back in the spring and becomes a harvest. And there are weeds in the wheat. And we humans, we get frustrated and we get impatient and we want to get rid of the weeds. You know, these agricultural images that Jesus shows last week and this week show what a bad farmer God is. He sows seed indiscriminately in the rocks, in the thorns, on the path. Who would do that? He doesn't allow the weeds to be uprooted, despite the fact that they're going to take at least half of the moisture and it's going to be a lousy crop. God seems to be patient with our imperfection and the imperfection of the world. And that first reading from the Book of Wisdom talks about the infinite patience of God. And he gives reason for our hope that we could be forgiven for our sins and that we could be redeemed despite our weaknesses and our sin. Teilhard de Chardin, a scientist, Jesuit, who was also a theologian, and he was a big believer in the process of evolution and that how long God had been patiently awaiting the fruition of even what we have now. So if it's almost 14 billion years since the Big Bang, things happen very slowly. And Teilhard said, people ask me, it's been 2,000 years since Christ redeemed the world, and we can't tell the difference. People still sin. The world is still unjust. There are still wars. There's still rape and injustice. And Teilhard said, it's only been 2,000 years. Give it time. In God's infinite perfection, he is merciful. It's precisely in his power, and it's precisely in his inexhaustible rule over everything that he is gentle and merciful. He shows his might through mercy. There's a wonderful opening prayer. I think it's on the seventh Sunday of Ordinary Time. O Lord, in you justice and mercy meet. And we sometimes have a hard time with that because justice and mercy don't always meet in our view. We think of justice as they need to get what they deserve. They need to be punished. They need to be kicked out. Get them out of our clean field. And God just doesn't seem to act that way. And it's frustrating for us. And yet at the same time, we're so grateful for that mercy because we ourselves are sinners. And we ourselves are imperfect. And we trust that God is waiting patiently for us to get it. These readings are in some way a continuation of the readings from last week. That second reading from St. Paul, last week we said that all creation is groaning in anticipation, like a woman in labor, ready to give birth. That somehow, it isn't just humans, but all of creation, everything that God created, is destined for that return to God, and it's groaning in labor pains, waiting for that rebirth to happen. And now in today's reading from that same letter, even the Holy Spirit is groaning. it isn't just creation that's groaning for salvation and redemption, but God is groaning. The Holy Spirit is groaning in that same anticipation, wanting it for us. God isn't at the end, arms crossed, waiting for us to get there. God is drawing us, loving us, longing, anticipation, groaning for our salvation. Because God cares about our salvation even more than we do. Half the time we're not even aware that we're being saved. Half the time we're not even paying attention. Look how little time we spend in prayer. Look how little time we spend groaning for our redemption. And yet God never stops. The Holy Spirit is translating our inability to pray. We don't even know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit takes care of it for us. The Holy Spirit is groaning with us and for us so that redemption ultimately is God's action rather than ours. And we trust in God's patience and love and his gentleness and his mercy. This rebirth, this new chance, this new creation of which Christ is the firstborn. Christ, God, even undergoes a birth in Jesus. And in Mary's labor pains, that rebirth of all creation, God enters into his own creation and redeems it from within, experiences everything that we experience, even death. And in that book of wisdom, that first reading, it says something about God over and against the false gods. The real God, because of his immense, infinite power, doesn't have to worry, can't be threatened. But in the Greek and Roman mythologies and in the Babylonian mythologies, the gods are always jealous. The gods are always easily threatened. They have bad tempers. And so you have to keep offering them sacrifice to appease their anger, to make sure that you don't, offend them. And the Book of Wisdom says the real God is so powerful that he can't be threatened, that he doesn't care when we offend him. It's not that he doesn't care, but he's patient with it, and he's forgiving. And then in Jesus, after his resurrection, when he turns around from that exalted glory of the cross, he beckons us into the same kind of divinity. Forgive one another as I have forgiven you. Lay down your lives in service as I, God, have done for you. Step into the divinity that has always been the promise that you inherited. Step into the divine life, the divine way of loving and thinking and being that is your destiny. So every Sunday we gather here and we practice that ritually. We know that we're not here because of our great worth. We know that we're not here because we're already perfect. We are gathered sinners, redeemed by the blood of the cross, redeemed by God's grace and mercy, not by our own efforts, and washed again in that baptismal water, and renewed and refreshed in the body and blood of the Lord. We once again enter into that new creation of grace, and then we're sent out to be that for the world. To be Christ for the world. We gather as sinners, we go out as Christ.